1, and we'll be focusing on verses 1 through 7 and actually moving down through the chapter today. The word of the Lord says in Joshua chapter 4, starting at verse 1, "And it came to pass, when all the people had completely crossed over the Jordan, that the Lord spoke to Joshua, saying, Take yourselves 12 men from the people, one man from every tribe, and commanded them, saying, Take yourselves 12 stones from here out of the midst of the Jordan, from the place where the priest had stood firm. You shall carry them over with you and leave them in the lodging place where you will lodge tonight. Then Joshua called the 12 men whom he had appointed from the children of Israel, one man from every tribe, and Joshua said to them, Cross over before the ark of the Lord your God into the midst of the Jordan, and each one of you take up a stone on his shoulder according to the number of tribes of the children of Israel, that this may be a sign among you when your children ask in time to come, saying, What do these stones mean to you? Then you shall answer them, that the waters of the Jordan were cut off before the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord. When it crossed over the Jordan, the waters of the Jordan were cut off. And those stones shall be a memorial to the children of Israel forever." And the title of the message this morning is Remembering What God Has Done in Your Life. Remembering what God has done in your life. There's a great memorial on this earth, and it's called the Taj Mahal. It's one of the most beautiful memorials, one of the most costly tombs that's ever been erected by man. But there's something fascinating. There's a backstory to this Taj Mahal, to this tomb, to its beginnings. In 1629, when the favorite wife of the Indian ruler, the Shah Jahan, had died, he ordered that this magnificent tomb be built as a memorial to his wife. The Shah placed his wife's casket in the middle of this parcel of land. It was a blank parcel of land, and he took his wife's casket and he placed it there in the middle with nothing there, and construction began around his wife's casket. They began to come in, they began to dig holes and build things and erect this structure literally around the casket. However, in those times, it took several years to make any progress with the tools that they had and the types of labor that they have. And over the years, the Shah's grief gave away to more of a passion for the building than for his wife that had passed on. One day, while he was surveying the site, while he was going around surveying what the workers had built for him, looking at this great tomb that had been erected, he reportedly stumbled over a wooden box. He didn't know what it was. He looked at the workers and said, "Throw this out. This is trash. We don't need it." It was months before he realized that the wooden box that he had tripped over and thrown away was the casket of the wife he had erected the tomb for. The original purpose for their memorial became lost in the actual memorial, in the details of the construction itself. Can we pray today? Father God, we come to you, Lord Jesus, and it's this point in the service where we need you the most, Lord. We need your Holy Spirit to come and to be the preacher and the teacher, Lord. I need clear and concise speech from this pulpit, Lord God, that it will give your word to the people. The people need to be able to hear what is coming from your word. We need you at this point in time, Holy Spirit, to help us, Lord, understand this simple message of faith and grace that you've given us, Lord. Help me today, Lord Jesus, to do such a thing. Help the people today that are here in this congregation or maybe listening by CD to do the same, Lord Jesus. Provide your Holy Spirit to them, Lord, to hear the word of the Lord. In your name we pray. Amen and amen. We forget what God has done for us. Many times God will do something and not wanting to, just in the course of things happening, we forget. But God realizes that we forget often, some of us more than others, and he realizes that sometimes we forget what he's done for us. In Deuteronomy 6:12, Moses issued a final warning to Israel as a remembrance to them. Just before they were to go into the promised land, Moses said this to them, "Beware lest you forget the Lord who brought you out of the land of Egypt." Beware that you forget the Lord. And many times in our life, we need to beware. We need to take action. We need to take notice as to what the Lord has done in our lives. The meaning of this Hebrew word is for memorial is to remember. And if you've been in several churches, a lot, many times, they have a communion table in the back and it says what? Do this in remembrance of me. And this is what the Lord was saying at this point in time in Deuteronomy through Moses, remember. And that's what he says through the message of Christ on the cross, remember. Remember what I have done for you. And given man's a talent to forget, for lack of a better word, it's little wonder that the memorials that we've frequently played out in our lives that we've seen in biblical history, we forget oftentimes. Moses would also set up another memorial at the foot of Mount Sinai, where Moses built an altar of stones in honor of God's covenant with Israel. Yet again, another memorial that the people would remember. How often do we forget what God has done? In our text today, we're going to remember what God has done. We're going to see how he commanded his people to stand up another memorial. And we're going to try to understand why God has these memorials in our life. Now, God is not calling us out today and saying, do this or do that or build stones. But we do have many churches that feel that they have to stand something up. A good example is the church, the Solid Rock Church, down on 75. They used to have Touchdown Jesus. And I can't tell you probably how many accidents that thing caused because people didn't know what they were driving up on. But we feel that we need to erect memorials. But God has really given us memorials in our life, memories in our life, things that are happened in our life in a spiritual aspect. And according to these verses, that Joshua goes out and he sends 12 men. The same 12 men earlier were to go back where the priests were standing in the middle of the riverbed that they were holding the ark. Now, one thing needs to be looked at here. They had already crossed over. They were already there. They were already setting up camp. The waters had not come back down yet. We need to get that because when the children of Israel, when they crossed over the Red Sea, what happened? The waters came back in and they flooded the Roman army. But can you imagine? God was still holding those waters up and there was still dry land. And he commands Joshua to take 12 men from the tribes and to go out and get stones from the Jordan River. Each man was to pick a large rock or a stone from the middle of the Jordan and carry it to the side of the river where Israel would make a camp before they went into Canaan as remembrance. And today, I want to look at three reasons that God puts remembrance in the heart and life of a believer. Three things that he does for us. So number one, it is a time of remembering of what God has done. At its most simple, at its most basic form, we should remember what God has done in our lives. God's done so many great, so many powerful things, and sometimes we forget. Sometimes we just don't focus on it. But how many times has something sparked a memory and you start thinking, Lord, I'm so glad that you got me through that time. Lord, I remember what you did for me there. Lord, it's almost like, forgive me because I forgot the great work that you performed in my life. He wants us to remember. It says in verse 7, and these stones shall be a memorial to the children of Israel forever. Forever. First, the memorial stone were to be a reminder of their own personal experience, what they had just been through. Remember, those waters are still standing up. I can't even think in my own mind what they would go back and see. If they were to cross over and they're just setting up their camp and they're putting up their tents and getting their animals in, and they're just kind of looking over their shoulder like, what's going to happen next? The waters are still standing straight up, but God had a plan. It was to be there for them to remember. In verse 6, it says that the memorial will cause the children to ask you, what do these stones mean? Maybe in today's vernacular, they'll say, Mom or Dad, how did you come to the Lord? What is your salvation experience? Mom or Dad, show me, help me. Grandma or Grandpa, help me understand what brought you to the Lord. Why do you have a love for God so much? It was to show the children of Israel, not just the current generation, but every generation forward, forever the verse ends with. These stones were, first of all, to be a reminder to those in the present of a personal experience, what they saw, what they felt, what they heard, what the emotion that happened in their life at that specific time. And when we come to Christ, when the Holy Spirit begins to move on a non-believer, the emotions come out. And we remember that time. Debbie said this morning, she didn't know what I was preaching on. She said, can I tell? She said, today's my second birthday. She said, today is my second birth. Many times when we make the decision to come to Christ, we remember exactly where we were at, don't we? We remember the people that were around us. We might remember the altar. We might remember the smell and the scents and even that song that was playing at the time that it happened. He wants us to remember where we were, what happened, the things that were going on, because it's special and it's personal to us. Tell your story. Keep it clear memory of what God's done for you. That way you can tell it again. Keep telling your story. Keep giving your testimony so that you never lose your own sense of the awe and the wonder of what God did in your life. You never ever know how your testimony is going to affect someone else. You never ever know who you're going to tell or who you're telling and who else might hear, and you might be an influence on God moving in our life. Know the story. Remember the story. Keep telling the story. I want you to consider with me what kind of memories we have in our lives today. What kind of memories do we hold on to? These spiritual memories that God has placed. We might not be going out and setting up stones someplace, but God has given us memories. Whether we realize it or not, we all have memorials from God in our life. Not a monument of stones, not one built on something physical, but something spiritual possibly, and maybe some physical things. There are memories of places that trigger specific memories, just as the memorial stones at Gilgal that we're reading about today, places that we remember, things that happened in that place that we go back and we think about. There are some significant places in your life that stimulate certain memories, places where you got saved. Maybe the place where you got married. Maybe the place where a spouse or a sibling come to know the Lord. Maybe a place or a ministry or a church that you were healed at, or maybe where you received the Holy Spirit at. Those things burn in your life. The church where I was saved is such a place for me. It's a place of memorial. It's a place of memory. It's where I was saved as a teenager, and it's where, as some years later, that God shared with me the wonderful blessing, the wonderful testimony, the wonderful message of the cross. I remember sitting there, and I remember the Holy Spirit. I remember the feeling to this day of that message coming over me. I remember the message of this day of that being unlocked in my mind, sitting there in a pew, not really understanding what was going on, but being able to look back on it, and it stands as a memorial. I remember being married there. I remember my children being dedicated there. It's a special place. It's just a place. That's all it is. But it's a special place, and I remember not the place, but the things that happened there. We all have places like that in our life. You might not even be close to it anymore. It might not even be standing anymore. The person might no longer be with us or close to us anymore, but we remember the memorial, the spiritual thing that happened there in our life. No doubt we have places that are very special that stand out of places like this in our life. There are memorials of people, memories of people that helped you in your life. There's, of course, those that didn't, but the things that stand out are those that encouraged you. I love the encourager because we all need encouragement. I love the Barnabas that would go out and help people, that little tap on the shoulder or that phone call, or in this day and age, that text message that says, hey, I appreciate, continue, keep going. The calling is on your life for whatever it is. Those things are important. We have memories of those people that encourage us to pursue whatever it is that God's called us to do, whether it's ministry in front of a pulpit, ministry in the body, ministry with a talent, ministry in the workplace, whatever those things are. Those encouragements from the people that God has set in our path are so important for us. And those are also memorials that we look back on. When we look in our lives and we think back, if that person would have never encouraged me, if that Sunday school teacher would have never encouraged me, if that pastor would have never took the time to teach me, if that person, if that elder, if that person in the church, if that man or woman that stepped in wouldn't have done something, then the memorial wouldn't be there. But God has placed the memorial there. And you remember these things. And God has placed those people and those situations in your life just like he did for the children of Israel, as we'll talk about just a little bit further on. How often do we sit down and think about the memories that God has done for us? How he's used these places, how he's used these people in our lives. Sometimes we should sit down and just kind of take an account of what God's done. And many times those things are, you know, in the background. But when we're feeling down, just as we talked about last week in Philippians, when we need to find our joy, we can go back to these memorials. We can say, God, I remember what you did. God, I remember how you provided. God, I remember that saint that you put in my way to help me. I remember the word that you gave me. I remember the secret in my heart and life that you told me to get me through that time. Those are the things that we go back spiritually and we stand up as memorials in our life. There are memorial experiences of God answering prayer. There are experiences of his marvelous hand of provision in our life when we didn't know where things were coming from. I remember as a child the provision that he provided, when many times I felt like I was in destitution, when many times poverty, you know, people say poverty's knocking at the front door. I believe poverty was sitting on the chair next to me many times. But you know what? God provided. God knew what was going on. When things were crashing around, God knew exactly what we needed. And I remember many times a real knock at the door and somebody showing up with provision. We had no idea how it was going to happen. And in this day and age, many times we don't know. We might have a job situation or a financial situation or a health situation or a family situation or a friend situation. And all of a sudden, what does God do? Miraculously, he provides. His provision is there, and he begins to do what only he can do. And I think it's so special, at least in my own life, this is just my own experience, is that when those unspoken prayers that we pray about, and it's only you and God that know, and all of a sudden he provides that exact very thing. The thing that only him and you knew about, all of a sudden that thing happens because he loves you. He cares for you. It's his character and it's his person that he wants to take care of you. And that's what these memorials were for. There are also mementos of the past that he places in our life, whether physical or in the spiritual realm. If you were to go into your house, no doubt you would show me pictures of this or that. If you were to come into my office, I would have maybe little knickknacks sitting around of places that I went to or things that I've done. And they might not mean anything to you, but they mean something to me. We have no doubt memories of those same things. Hey, do you remember when we went to X, Y, and Z and we did that thing and we just had such a good time together? Memories, mementos that he places in our life. Each of these things, each of these objects or memories, they trigger things of what happened and how God did it and the things that he did and how we got there and ultimately how he changed your life. Because that's what he did. He changed your life. He moved you from one spot to another spot. He took you from a lesser position to a greater position. And that's what God does. That's the way that God works. The point is that God knows how we think. He made us. He knows how we think, and that's the reason that he instructs Joshua to go out and build the memorial. That's the reason that he instructs us to remember what Christ has done in our life so we can go back and we can understand and we can see the thing that happened. He instructed Joshua so that each time the Israelites saw this, that they were reminded that they had not crossed the Jordan on their own. It wasn't their own strength. It wasn't their own ability. It was because of God. He points us back to the cross for the same exact reason, that it wasn't on our own, that it took one man named Jesus Christ, that none of us could have done what needed to be done. And he says, remember what my son has done for you. It's the same thing. It's a picture in the Old Testament of what they're doing right now. It's a picture of remembering Jesus Christ. I challenge you this morning to spend some time thinking about these memories, thinking about these stones, these memorial stones, as a figure of speech, if you will, in your life, and let them draw you back to God. Let them draw you closer to God to remind you of his faithfulness, to remind you of his love, to remind you of his provision in your life, because that's what they're there for. Again, he knows how our mind works, and he knows that sometimes we have to go back to the past and cling to some things because we don't know the future yet. But he's placed these things in our life for a reason. Secondly, the memorial stones were used to serve as a basis of sharing their faith, specifically sharing their faith with their children, passing something on. In two places in this chapter, parents are reminded of their responsibility of the continuous communication of God's memorial, of God's provision, and of keeping their faith in God from generation to generation to generation. These things passed down. And there wasn't even necessarily at this time something that they could write on, a book to give. It was all done verbally. And they would pass it down. And no doubt, they would tell these stories again and again from generation to generation. We saw it first in verses 6 and 7. If you go down to verses 21 and 23, it says this. Then he spoke to the children of Israel, saying, "When your children ask their fathers in time to come, saying, 'What are these stones?' then you shall let your children know, saying, 'Israel crossed over the Jordan on dry land. For the Lord your God dried up the waters of the Jordan until you had crossed over, as the Lord your God did to the Red Sea, which he dried up before us until we had crossed over.'" Two times in the same chapter. And I've said it before, and I'm going to reiterate it again this morning. When God wants to get his point across, he's masterful. He's masterful at telling it two different ways. And he's done just the same thing right here. He's told us once, he's told us twice. We need to stop, and we need to remember, and we need to tell our children what he's done in our life. Mom, dad, grandpa, grandma, uncle, aunt, saint of God, how did you get where you were? How did you get where you were? Many of you know Don and Darla, and you know Don's mom, Midge, and I just love to sit and talk to her. She's 90, I don't know, 90-something, 94 maybe, and the stories that she has of her life and how she clung to Jesus Christ, and how she clung to God through all these things, these saints of God that he places in our life that are much older than us in age in the Lord, and the struggles and the trials that they've been through. It's amazing, and it builds faith in me to hear these things, because they made it. They know where they're going. They know what's going on, and they understand and know God's provision. He says, from generation to generation, you need to remember this. And that's what he's telling us today about the message of Jesus Christ and him crucified. From generation to generation, that you continue to tell about Jesus Christ, who he is, what he's done, and what he's going to do. The miracles of the past, which the Lord has given us, they're to be related to again and again in our life. In essence, almost lived again is the idea that it is. It's not that we can live off past miracles. That's not what he's saying. Don't leave with the wrong impression. We can't, that miracle's done and it's on. But it helps to build faith to know he did what he did, and to know that he'll do it again. To know that all we have to do is reach out and he'll do it again and again. And again, it might be in a different way, but if we look back to those things that he's done, it's no doubt a faith builder, and that's what they're exactly meant to be. As with the memorials of the Old Testament, the intention of the memorial was to provoke questioning for future generations, for Israel and for us today. Question it. We remember many times as we question the hand of God, as we question the path of God in our life, and every single time he answers yes and amen. Every single time we question, he wants us to question. That way we can come right back to this book. That way we can come right back to the story some 4,000 plus years ago, and we can see that he was faithful, and he'll be faithful again. Christianity, listen to me this morning. Christianity is no more than one generation away from extinction. You say, "Pastor Chris, that's a bold statement to make." Think about it with me. Christianity is no more than one generation away. You hear that are older than me Think about that. Think about the times that you've seen in your life and the different generations that have come through. Christianity, if Satan had his way, is only one generation away from extinction. And America, especially where we are today, especially with what's going on and the things that our government is passing, is making it easier and easier and easier for us to simply slip away. Remember what God has done. Just think for a moment how far this country has drifted from what it was based on. We look back and we see what this country was built on. We see the hand of God in building up this country. And we see it creeping away. 1962, prayer in schools declared illegal. 1963, Bible reading is stopped in schools. 1980, it's illegal to post the Ten Commandments in school. And as we move forward, we see that it's not right for teachers to publicly pray in school. And these are just our schools. In this day and age, we've got people across this nation trying to pull down the Ten Commandments because they're offensive. They're offensive because they're sinning. That's why they're offensive. We look at the generations that have happened since we pulled prayer out of our school and since we've stopped letting our teachers bring their relationship with Christ into our schools, and we wonder why generation after generation after generation has a harder time than the last generation. Bring Jesus Christ back. Jesus Christ has an effect on us that we'll never know. Christianity is only one generation away if Satan had his way. And we're in the midst now. And I believe it's only going to get worse and worse and worse. God's warning to Israel was to not let the environment of a pagan society that surrounded them dictate their values. Sound familiar? This was some 4,000 years ago. Don't let what's around you dictate who you are. Don't let what's around you change your belief system. Don't let what's around you change your character. That's the same message today. Don't let your workplace, don't let your school, don't let your friends, don't let your family dictate what thus saith the Lord. Amen. This is what the Lord says. And if our faith is in Christ and we're believing that this Bible is his breathed word of life, then we need to follow it, no matter what's going on around us, no matter what the politicians say, no matter what the leaders say, no matter what the people in charge say. Thus saith the Lord, and this is what I'm going to believe. It says in Deuteronomy 6:12, it says, "Then beware, lest you forget the Lord who brought you out of the land of Egypt from those houses of bondage. You shall fear the Lord your God and serve him and shall take oaths to his name. You shall not go after other gods, the gods of these people who are all around you, for the Lord your God is a jealous God among you, lest you anger the Lord your God and his anger be aroused against you and destroy you from the face of the earth." Strong words, but he's saying, follow me. Don't let these things interact with you. Follow me. Of nearly 3 million people who left Egypt some 40 years before, 40 million to 2 went into the promised land. An entire generation wiped out because of their lack of faith in Jesus and God. A whole generation, 2 from the existing generation that left Egypt, went into the promised land. Joshua and Caleb. Doubt and unbelief that killed the others. That's simply what it was. They would not believe God time and time again, and God simply got tired of it. But with faith and remembrance in God, Joshua and Caleb entered into the promised land. Third, the memorial stones were to be assigned to the lost world. Verse 24 says this, "That all the peoples of the earth may know the hand of the Lord, that it is mighty, that you may fear the Lord your God forever." It's always been God's plan. Always, 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 without revocation, been God's plan that the whole world should know who he is. That the whole world should know the message of faith and grace. That he is the only one God. That he is the only living God. That he is the only God that can take away the sin of man. That he's the only God that can truly heal the heart, mind, life, and body of mankind. That's been his message. Not only was the crossing Jordan a stirring event for Israel, but it was also a terrifying event for the land of Canaan. Remember, we talked several weeks ago about them looking out and seeing this army of Israelites coming towards them and knowing what God had done in the past and seeing them march around that city wall. They were terrified of what God could do. God gave them warning, and they chose not to heed the warning, and they should have remembered what God had done, but they had not. As we're looking at these stones, before we move on to the next point, there's four facts about these stones that we need to see here. Number one, they were taken, they were carried, they were laid down, and they were set up. The original stones were deep in the bed of the Jordan. Remember, they walked out on dry land and they picked these stones up. Their purpose was to testify that Israel owed her entrance into this promised land to God and his divine grace and power. That's what they represented. Into the baptism of Christ, the believer dies to his old life. He rises into the new life. It's like he was, like he died with Christ, like he was buried with Christ, like he rose again in Christ in a spiritual aspect. And we are reminded that to our moral origin, that we were buried beneath the waters of the wrath of God. Those things are gone. That's what baptism does to us. That's what the significance of coming up and the act of baptism does. As to our present position, we are now set up upon a resurrection ground. We were in a spiritual sense raised with Christ. We're a new creation. We were raised with him in his resurrection. It was our duty to testify daily of the glory of Jesus Christ, of the message of faith and grace, of what God has done for us. In a spiritual aspect, we were buried with him. We rose with him. And the same power that lived with him is in us if we allow the Holy Spirit latitude to do what he needs to do. The Lord Jesus Christ said to the Pharisees that if your children were silent, the very stones would cry out. I have to wonder if he wasn't talking about these Jordan stones here. If these very stones of a memorial wouldn't cry out if their children did not. Not only was it a time of remembering what God has done, but number two, it was a time of renewing a personal commitment. A time of renewing a personal commitment. It says in verse 8, and the children of Israel did so, just as Joshua had commanded, and took up 12 stones from the midst of the Jordan, as the Lord had spoken to Joshua, according to the number of tribes of the children of Israel, and carried them over with them to the place where they lodged. And they laid them down there. Joshua not only issued the order for the men to go back, but he personally joined them. And this is important. This is something to take note of here. Joshua could have just sent these men out. Joshua was now the undoubted leader of Israel. God had told the people, he had set him in this place, and this great miracle had just happened. They had crossed over, and there was no doubt in their mind right now. Joshua, he could have sat down and said, God said, go do this. And he could have sat down and maybe had a bite to eat. I don't know. Kicked his feet up a little bit. Whatever they did back then, he could have done that. But Joshua chose to go with them. He chose to go on the journey with them back to the center of this riverbed. And it says here in verse 9, it says this, then Joshua set up 12 stones in the midst of the Jordan in the place where the feet of the priest who bore the Ark of the Covenant stood, and they are there to this day. It seems that while these men were going out and picking up their stones, while they were carrying the stones back to shore, that Joshua went out on his own memorial. And he also picked up 12 stones, and he built a memorial in the very center of this riverbed as a personal act of worship. Many times God calls us to our own personal act. Many times in a worship service, you'll see people raise their hands. You'll see people, some people come to the front. You'll see people bow where they're at or sit down. Or you'll see people, if they get excited, they'll dance. And not to make a show of their self. If they're making a show of their self, then that's probably something different. It's not my point this morning. But you'll see people make a personal memorial. That's what Joshua did here. And it doesn't tell us exactly. There's much debate maybe about what this verse says, but just give me a little latitude this morning. I believe that this is pointing back to Jesus Christ. I believe that these stones that were laid in this riverbed by Joshua, by the leader of the Israelites, was a picture of Jesus Christ. he sat them there as his own personal memorial as to what was going on. It was a very private act, and it was also very representative of the pivotal point in his walk with God. He took enough time to do this on his own. Remember, he didn't have to do it. He was the leader to go out and make this memorial. He was saying once again, God, this is a memorial to you. Once the 12 men had carried the 12 stones back to the shore of Canaan, after Joshua has built his altar in the middle of the riverbed, he commanded the priest to finish crossing the river with the Ark of the Covenant. He commanded them to go ahead and come on over. The first memorial, no doubt, was referred to as the Jordan Stones. It referred to a wilderness, to coming out. Let me say it better than that. That's not a good way to say it. The first set of stones were Jordan Stones, and they were saying that this was the crossing of the Jordan. This is what God has done. We can look at the second set of stones, Joshua's stones, and say this is a memorial to the wilderness. We could call them wilderness stones. These 12 stones buried at the bottom of the Jordan where the feet of the priest had stood signify the death and the burial of Israel's 40 years of unbelief. They're 40 years of sinning. They're 40 years in the wilderness, and I believe it's a picture, it's a type of Jesus Christ and his burial on the cross. Those things were buried. The Lord was saying that the time is over, buried, out of sight, forgotten, typical of our sins of the past. That our sins, once we've confessed them to God, they're gone. He's forgotten about them if we properly trusted in him, 1 John 1-9. Unfortunately, far too many Christians, they seem to take delight in going back to the bottom of that Jordan River. They take delight, follow me here, and going back and digging up those stones, those sins of the past. Well, you remember so-and-so and what they did. You don't know so-and-so. So-and-so could have brought that thing to the altar. So-and-so could have cried out to God and said, God, forgive me. You could have done the same thing. God, forgive me. Lord, I didn't know at that time in my life what I was doing. Lord, I was a sinner at that time in my life. Lord, forgive me. Take those stones and bury them at the bottom of the Jordan. Lord, take those sins and put them at the bottom of the cross. Lay them at the foot of the cross, Lord, never to come back. We as believers, we as Christians, those who understand the message of faith and grace, we can't go back and start digging up those Jordan stones because God's forgotten about them. The modern church needs to forget about the sins of the past. We need to treat people differently when they've sinned. If there's a true heart of repentance, if the Holy Spirit has confirmed in us that that thing is gone and they're truly repentant, those things need to be wiped away. And that's a hard thing to say, isn't it? Because not only do we remember the good, we remember the bad. God is saying those sins have been washed away. They've been cleansed by the blood of Jesus Christ, and we need to remember the same thing. Verse 15 says this, then the Lord spoke to Joshua saying, command the priest to bear the ark of the testimony to come up from the Jordan. Joshua therefore commanded the priest saying, come up from the Jordan. And it came to pass when the priests who bore the ark of the covenant of the Lord had come from the midst of the Jordan that the soles of the priest's feet touched dry land, that the waters of the Jordan returned to their own place and overflowed its banks as before. The moment, the very moment that the priest's feet touched the dry ground, that they got to the other side, the water that had been pulled back however many feet high for miles and miles had come crushing back into place, but not until after the memorials had been built. This was a physical demonstration to Israel of God's power yet again. Maybe he thought they forgot the Red Sea. He was reminding them. He was giving them another memorial to take on from generation to generation. And God does this the same thing spiritually in our life. Spiritually, he comes up and he says, I'm going to do this thing. And then I'm going to do another thing. And then I'm going to do another thing. And from thing to thing, from spiritual event to spiritual event, from faith to faith, if you will, God does these things in our life. Now, there's a picture here of the Israelites that we should take to heart today. 40 years in the wilderness, a whole generation wiped out. They were up and they were down. They were on a high, they were on a low. That's a picture to the Christian of today. That's not how we're supposed to live. If Israel would have come out and had faith in God, that journey to the promised land would have been weeks. Instead, they decided to spend 40 years. Don't have a 40-year experience today. Put your faith in Jesus Christ for all that he is and all that he's done. We as Christians shouldn't live on a roller coaster. Life has its ups and downs, yes, but our spiritual walk should be a slow climb to the throne room of God, amen, through faith based in Jesus Christ. This is the way of the Lord. He calls men and women. He speaks to them. He gives them leading and guidance. He gives the Holy Spirit latitude to work in their life, to lead them and guide them and place people and experiences in their place. But unfortunately, most of the modern church has long since forgotten to hear from the Lord. Not all, but many churches today, they think they can do it on their own. I'm here to tell you, I can't do it on my own. I need him. I need him. Oh, I need him. Like the old song says, I need him to give me what I need on a personal basis. I need him to give me what this church needs on a church basis. In everything that we are, we need him. We need the hand and the mind of God to help us in everything that we do, from the most great and spiritual thing that he gives us to that menial task. Listen to me today. To that menial task that you have to do, how easy the Lord makes it when we put our trust in him. I can't tell you how many times that he unlocks the word of God to us, right? And he shows us exactly what it is, and I'm so grateful for that. But on the flip side of that coin, in the things that I do in my life, how many times when I say, Lord, I just can't figure it out, help me. And he begins to help, and he begins to provide. From faith to faith, from provision to provision, we need to be led by him, and if we are, the results will be obvious. Just give me a few more moments this morning. There was one way into Canaan, and that was a divine way, and that was made by the Ark of the Covenant at that particular time. There's only one way into heaven in this day and age, and that's through Jesus Christ and what he's done on the cross. He said that I am the way. He didn't say that I'm one of the ways. He didn't say that there were ever other ways. He said, I am the way. He said, I am the truth and I am the life. He said, I am the way. There isn't another way. You can look at different religions of the world. There's no other way. You can look at different mindsets of the world, if you will. There is no other way. Jesus Christ said, I am the way. Place your faith in me. Come to me and I will make a way. The ark that they saw here, that they carried across this Jordan River, it typified him in its many different attributes. Its precious wood typified his humility. Its gold, his deity. Its blood-sprinkled cover, his atonement. You see, the Ark of the Covenant was yet again a picture of Jesus Christ. It was a picture of who he is. It was a picture of his character, and it was a picture of his cross. And I love it. Because so many thousands of years ago, as we see them crossing the Jordan River with the Ark of the Covenant, we see Jesus Christ crossing the Jordan Rivers in our life, doing the things that only he can do if we'll place our faith in him. As the Ark descended into the depth of the Jordan, it rolled back its waters. So Christ has descended into the deep waters of our life, into the sins of our life, into the wrath of God that's on our life. And he alone has opened a way. He alone has opened the way in our life to do it. Only he can do the thing that only he can do, and that's go to God on our behalf and say, they're with me. Their faith is in me. They died with me. They've been buried with me. And they're resurrected in me because their faith is in me. And God counts us holy because of Christ. He opened the way into everlasting life. Not only was it the time of renewing of personal commitment, but three, it was a time of rolling away old defeats. Old defeats, verse 19 and 20 say this. Now the people came up from the Jordan on the 10th day of the first month, and they camped in Gilgal on the east border of Jericho. And those 12 stones which they had stood in the Jordan, Joshua set up in Gilgal. Leaving the edge of the river, the Israelites went to this place called Gilgal to make their camp. It was on the eastern border of Jericho. The name Gilgal means the reproach has been rolled away. The reproach has been rolled away when we come to Jesus Christ, when we give our life to him, when he gives us that salvation, when the sins have been taken, the reproach has been rolled away. There's nothing to be reproachful anymore, any longer for. He's taken those sins and he's forgotten about them. The reproach is gone. The shame is gone now because I've given them to Christ and he's taken them. It's literally been rolled away, never to be seen again. Their encampment in this place typified that the sins, that the doubt, that the unbelief of the wilderness of the past 40 years, it had been rolled away. It typifies in your life that the sins, that the reproach, that the unbelief is now gone because you've placed your faith in Jesus Christ. It's the same exact thing. It's a picture and a type of what Jesus Christ does in the heart and life of a believer. It's significant that this happened on the 10th day of the first month because this was exactly 40 years from the day since Israel marched out of Egypt. Exactly 40 years. 40 years of spiritual defeat, 40 years of spiritual failure have been rolled away, and this new beginning for the Israelites in a new land. The days of hostile refusal to respond to God under Moses, they were gone. Complaining had ended. Hopeless wandering in the wilderness for all this time was behind them. They were now a people of powerful, with a powerful sense of purpose, determined to claim the new territory of God. That's who we need to be, a people of power, a people of purpose, a people ready to go in and claim the territory of God. It was exactly the day 40 years. Tell me my God isn't in control. Tell me my God doesn't know what's going on. Sometimes we walk around and we think that God doesn't know. He led all of these people for 40 years, and on the very day that typified that time, he opened up the door to them, to Canaan. My God's a great God. My God, he is the Alpha. He is the Omega. He is the first. He is the last. He is the fairest of 10,000. He is the bright morning star, and he knows what's going on in the heart and life of his people. If you're simply trust him. 40, I just can't get past it today. Some of us, we struggled for a long time. I know that I did. I know that I loved God. I know that I wasn't trying to be a hypocrite. I just didn't understand the message of faith and grace. I wish in my own life I could go back and look at that timing and see what the timing was. Maybe it would line up exactly. But 40 years to the day, he brought them out. He brought them out. God doesn't want you to struggle for 40 years. He doesn't want to have you in a 40-year experience in your life. He wants you to come to him and simply place your faith in him. If that's you today, young or old, if that's you today and you're fighting Jesus Christ today, you don't know if you can trust him or not. He's saying, trust me, don't have a 40-year experience. If you're listening by CD or by the internet, come to Christ today, and he'll never leave you the same way he found you. He will always make you better. That's exactly what he did here with Israel. But don't have a 40-year experience. Come his way and do it now. God chose this place for these 12 memorial stones to be set up in a sense because it typified a new beginning for Israel. In the same sense, anyone can have this experience. Anyone today can have this same experience by placing their faith in Jesus Christ. You can truly have a new beginning. A new beginning. That's what he's offering you today. In closing this morning, with every head bowed, with every eye closed, in reverence to what's going on around us, in reverence to the moving, to the operation of the Holy Spirit, for the believer today, we should be able to look back. We should be able to see the monuments, the special occasions, the standout times in our life which God has changed our direction, which he has changed our heart, which he has changed our mind, where he has given us new hope, where he has given us faith where there is no faith, where he's given us a sense of purpose. Those things should be rushing back to us right now. A time when by an act of bold faith, we decided to abandon ourselves and come to God. We decided to put away the things of this world. We decided not to listen to friends. We decided not to listen to our own way of doing things. We stepped out into the unknown. We placed our faith in Jesus Christ, and we took the new territory because of what he did, because of who he is, and because of what he's done. The monument that was built with those 12 stones was to serve as a visible reminder of the faithfulness of God to the children of Israel. It's also a silent monument to the special day at which God's people boldly placed their feet on the surging, rushing current of the Jordan, confident that God would see them into safety to the other side. Listen to me today, every head bowed, every eye closed. That's exactly what God is saying today. Place your feet into the Jordan. Have faith in him that he'll do what he said he was going to do. Get your feet wet. Place your faith in Jesus Christ today and test him, try him, see if he'll not do what he says he's going to do. Verse 24 ends with this, that all the people of the earth might know the hand of the Lord, that it is mighty, that you may fear the Lord your God forever. The hand of the Lord is mighty to save. The hand of the Lord is mighty to continue saving. The hand of the Lord is mighty to do whatever needs to be done in the heart and life of the believer. This morning, have you taken time to think about the memories of God in your life? Those special times, those special places, those special people, the things that he's done for you. What has he done for you throughout the years? Many of us today could sit around for the rest of the afternoon and tell stories about what he's done for us. Some of us in this congregation today are saying, Pastor Chris, he hasn't done that much for me. That's why you're here today, because he wants to do everything for you. He wants to be your God. He simply wants you to place your faith in him. Have you thought about the greatest memorial of God, the greatest memorial that he's given us, Jesus Christ? Jesus Christ, the only perfect sacrifice that could come to this earth, the only man that was all God and all man that could come to this earth and do what needed to be done to bring relationship, not religion, relationship back between you and God. If that's you today, if any of those things that the Holy Spirit is saying to us today, if that's you, do you need a new beginning with every head bowed, with every eye closed? If that's you, would you say, Pastor Chris, that's me. I'm not going to embarrass you this morning. Would you simply just lift a hand and say, that's me. Pastor Chris, I need a new beginning today. The Holy Spirit's speaking to me and he's moving on my heart. And that's me, just with hands lifted today. Is that you? I believe the Holy Spirit's speaking to many today. I don't believe that you're here just as a mere act of good faith. The Holy Spirit's moving in this place, and he's moving in the hearts and lives of everyone in here. He's moving in the hearts and lives of those listening by the CD, by CD and by the internet. As we close today, if you didn't raise your hand, that's okay. I want you to make purpose in your heart today as we close and let him know you're ready for a new beginning. You're ready to renew your commitment. You're ready for him to do the things in your life that only he can do by placing your faith either back in him or in him for the first time. Father God, we come to you today, Lord Jesus, and we're humbled by the stories that we read in the Old Testament because we see the picture and person of Jesus Christ time and time again. Lord, we're thankful that we can go back and we can glean faith from these things that happen, Lord Jesus. Lord, I believe that today you're asking people to make a new commitment. I believe today, Lord God, that you're saying there is a new beginning available, that if someone isn't happy with the way that their life has been going, that you can change it in the twinkling of an eye. Lord Jesus, through the power of your Holy Spirit, I'm asking that you would help people make the decision today, that you would do in their heart, lives, and minds what only you can do, Lord Jesus. Lord, you've only called me to deliver the message, Lord, which I've done, and I believe the Holy Spirit is doing great and mighty things right now. Lord, do in your people what only you can do, Lord Jesus. Change them from the inside out. Help them to have faith in you for who you are and what you've done, Lord Jesus. Lord, help this message to be a memorial in our lives, Lord, as we look back on what you've done, Lord Jesus, throughout the Word of God and in our own personal lives, Lord. Lord, I thank you for who you are. I thank you for what you've done. I thank you for the work that I know has been done in this place today. It's in your name I pray. Amen and amen. Thank you for coming and being with us today. It's been such an honor and a humbling experience to be able to minister this great message of God to you today. You're dismissed. Amen and amen.